Welcome back to Hoofbeats with Lori. We're rekindling America's love affair with the horse one Saturday at a time. I'm Lori Richliano, your host, along with my co-host and husband, Victor Richliano. If you enjoy all things equine, you know this is to be.
Now, you know, Lori, before we start this next segment, I'm going to give you a figure.
Okay.
And I want to be perfectly clear that this is not a goal for you.
Oh.
We do not set goals based on this figure.
Okay, maybe.
Because did you know that there are over 350 breeds of horses on this planet?
Yes.
And no, you don't need one of each.
Well, you have to, like, embrace the horse.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to be out there like Noah getting two of each.
Well,
it's not happening.
I'm trying to preserve them.
Well, we have a lot of them in our barn.
Yeah, well, that is, you know, it has evolved like that. We used to be exclusively with Arabians and half Arabians. And over the years, it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
We've branched out.
We have quarter horses.
Saddlebreds.
We have minis.
National show horses.
We have ponies.
Oh, yeah. Different ponies.
Different types of ponies. We've got a Tennessee Walker in the barn.
Mm-hmm.
We've had paint horses in the barn.
Yep.
We have
Palomino.
Palominos,
but that's
which is a color breed. We've mm-hmm. got a Cremello, which mm-hmm. is another color breed. So it's kind of interesting. But, you know, of the over 350 breeds that are out there, there are five that are extremely rare.
Okay.
And those are the ones that we're going to talk about.
There are some fun ones in here.
So the first one, and I'm going to try not to butcher these names, so you correct me if I'm wrong, which we all know that you never correct me about anything.
Ever.
Ask any of our students in the barn. No. Lori never corrects
me. You say something, then they look to me, and I either give them a nod or not. It reminds me of the Baby Yoda thing, doesn't it?
Yes,
it's like,
the
nope.
Baby Yoda.
No, nope.
That would be me.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see. The first one is a
Basquiat Curly.
See, correcting me again.
Basquiat Curly.
Basquiat Curly.
They are awesome. They look wavy.
Yeah.
They're so wavy. Their hair is wavy. They look like poodles.
I know. They're great horses. And you know what's interesting is I will have to go through the list, but I think we've seen at least two of the five that are in this list, if not three of them.
Yeah, no, the Basquiat Curly is very awesome. If you've never seen them, and they kind of get, you know, longer coated. When they get longer coated, they get curlier. It's not oily. It's just long. It's kind
of
neat.
They're also one of the rarest breeds of American descent.
Mm-hmm.
So they're from here in America.
And they would find them all in different areas, too.
Yeah, but they were first found in 1868 in Nevada,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of interesting because Nevada's a desert.
Yes.
You would think they wouldn't have long, curly-haired horses in Nevada.
Okay, well, it's the same thing. Okay, we have Sphinx cats, right?
Right.
Now, Sphinx cats are a natural genetic mutation, which that's what this horse is.
Right.
Okay, so it's a natural genetic mutation, which means man did not create this. This is a spontaneous creation.
Right.
So where did the Sphinx come from? Basically, Ontario, Canada, and down there
and
by
Waseca, Minnesota.
Yeah, down there by Minneapolis, Minnesota.
You know, I wonder,
two coldest places.
You know, I don't want to say anything that would be sacrilege or anything like that, but I wonder how much God had to drink on those days.
Hey.
Because he should have switched them.
You know, maybe you're right.
The Sphinx should have been in Nevada, and the curly horse should have been here in Minnesota.
Maybe.
It's cold here in Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe he messed up on that one. Could be. But anyway, that's a genetic mutation. That's what happens. So it's really interesting.
Now, it was some people thought that they were Russian descent,
mm-hmm.
Related to an ancient Basquiat breed. Researchers proved that theory wrong by determining that the actual Russian breed with the distinct coat.
Loci horse.
Is mm-hmm. a loci horse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so the American one.
American Basquiat Curly was named after a cartoon by the Darnell family, as strange as it seems, which is very interesting, but it is. It's from America, and it's a genetic mutation.
And it's a cute horse.
Yeah, very cute.
Now, how do we say this next one, Lori?
The Akutecki.
God bless you.
Yeah, Akutecki.
God bless you again.
You're welcome. Akutecki.
So the name of the horse?
Akutecki.
Okay.
Yes.
And the name of the horse?
Akutecki.
Okay.
See, the Akutecki is awesome. If you've ever seen an Akutecki, I've seen them on the internet. I've not personally seen them. I would love to personally see one. They are, and from what I've seen on the videos, they are like metal. They gleam like metal. They're what we try to, like, Shoshin on our horses to get. If you've ever seen these guys, like the Palominos and the golds and the coppers, they look copper. They look like a metal. It's awesome.
Now, they originated from Turkmenistan,
mm-hmm.
And so they're from quite a distance away from
They us. Are. It's more of the European style that we see from over there and overseas. And they're quite neat. And
now, I understand that they were used for war horses and racing because of their outstanding stamina.
Right. And I mean, that goes back to there's some, of course, Arabian blood in that one.
Right.
It's from the same area.
Because all the studies say that they had perfect gaits throughout the desert.
Mm-hmm. So where would that come from? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, I understand the other thing that shows that they got Arabian in them is that these horses bond really well with people like the Arabian does. And
very
they do
smart.
Something else that the Arabian does. And what's that?
Hold grudges. They hold grudges. If you've ever had an Arabian horse, you know, they look at you and go, I remember what you did. You know, be that good, be that bad.
Yeah, and if you hurt them or do them wrong, they'll become resentful and stubborn.
Well, it is like a... That just tells
it's
you...
like you. You
could, I have no problem with that. No, it just tells you they are very intelligent, highly intelligent beings who are capable of understanding.
Now, this next breed, you and I know really well.
Yeah, and we've seen it, and we've photographed it, videoed it.
You wrote it.
Yes, the Mungalarga.
Mungalarga Marchador.
There are actually two different types of Mungalarga. The Mungalarga Marchador is the one that travels up and down, up and down. They actually look like they're marching. It's a different type of a gait.
Right.
And then you have the other Mungalarga, which is more of a stock type of breed.
Right, and they are native to Brazil.
To Brazil.
That's where they're at.
Not
and I've seen one in the U.S. We've seen them in Brazil.
Yeah, we've seen them in Brazil. I'm sure there's got to be some breeders out there.
There has to be, because one of the largest breeders in Brazil is also one of the larger Arabian breeders who has farms up here in the U.S. also.
Yes, I wonder.
And that's Harris JM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we photographed them, and you got the opportunity to ride one. What was the ride like?
Cool. Absolutely cool. It felt very similar to some of my saddlebred horses that I've ridden. Well, probably it's like a mix between a saddlebred and a paso. Passos are a little bit more swingy with the gait. Saddlebreds are more up and down. This was a kind of a different move to the horse. Very, very smooth. Very smooth. Not a very pretty horse.
Yeah, that's what they say.
I mean, when you look at them, you would...
Well, it's tough, Lori, because you were looking at them on this farm with these beautiful...
Arabians.
I mean, Jose Alves breeds some of the prettiest Arabs I've ever seen.
He's one of the two top breeders. He is one of the top breeders for Arabians in Brazil and also for the Mungalarga Marchadors.
Right, and so when you're looking at the Arab next to the Mungalarga, of course they're not going to look pretty.
Yeah, the Mungalargas are pretty...
That's really not fair.
Well, yeah, but they're pretty long-headed, little small-eyed, and... I would love to be very enthusiastic. The riding on them is awesome. Okay, it's a very, very cool riding.
I understand, too, that they're natural cattle horses.
Yeah. Especially the ones that aren't, you know, the big...
Right.
They're very handy. Very handy.
And now the next one is the Black Forest horse.
I haven't seen this one in person. And, again, it's a rare draft breed. And used it from the Black Forest of Germany. And they use them, I guess, more like almost kind of like a shire. Kind of what they
right were. And you know, it's a rare draft breed, and it was introduced for farming.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1980s there were only a few stallions and 160 registered mare.
Something about this is I'm remembering something about the Queen of England that she stepped in here somewhere. I'm thinking this is the breed that she actually owns some of them
right.
now. I'm almost positive.
Right, because the breed is over 600 years mm-hmm. old. And they're mostly chestnut with long flaxen mane and tail.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool. And now the last one we're going to talk about is probably the rarest. And you know how to pronounce this one.
Saraya.
And it's an ancient rare breed that's native to, go ahead, you say
the Iberian Peninsula.
That's
so Iberia. It's
Iberia.
Actually, mm-hmm.
And they're just neat little horses.
They're wondering if that is the first domesticated wild horse. You know, wild horse being domesticated. That's what they're thinking.
So now that we've gone through these five breeds, Lori, we're going to take another quick break. And that doesn't mean that I can see you going away on that phone trying to find breeders of these things so you can start acquiring them.
Just a
That's
few.
That's not the goal.
Oh, okay. Sure.
But when we come back, we're going to talk about some common beginning horse riding mistakes and some riding habits you do not want to develop. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At Rich Liano Farms Training Center, we work with you and your horse to make what you want easy for your horse to understand and to help you achieve your riding goals. Our training methods are proven by our clients' successes. We don't do gimmicks. We build a solid foundation. Horse training and riding lessons are available and taught by a United States Equestrian Federation horse judge, clinician, and trainer. Visit us on the web at alwayshorses.com or call us at 218-557-8762 to schedule your horse training session or riding lesson at Rich Liano Farms today.